How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Konezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Doing well, fellas. I'm in the airport, so if any background noise sounds weird, I'm waiting to board a flight. So.
What airport? Where are you going?
Bush International, going to COVID land. Going back to Michigan.
Nice.
It's awesome. Always good to look on the hotspot map and see that Michigan is completely beat red. Like, right. Not a single county is not a hotspot. So,
we can relate. We can relate.
That's right. Well, Charles, speaking of Michigan, both Joe Rexrode and myself have talked ourselves into a Detroit Lions victory coming up on Thursday. Your thoughts? Are we crazy? You ready for this big game coming up between the Bears and the Lions?
You guys are gluttons for punishment. I wouldn't talk yourself into anything with the Detroit Lions. Yeah, I mean, look, if it's going to happen, I feel a little bit better about them facing Andy Dalton than Justin Fields, but... You know, I don't mean, the Lions are so far and away the worst team in football right now. And, you know, the Houston Texans probably gave them a huge gift. Like, the Lions are like, sweet, we definitely have the first pick in the draft now, given that there's no way we're winning two games this season. I don't know. It's a tradition of horrible football on Thanksgiving. I don't think they're going to break it.
We love it. So, by the way, we were just talking about this. So, let's say they do get the first pick. Who is the first pick?
The DN Thibodeau, I think, is the,
yep.
Is that, the,
yep, from Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, from Oregon. That's the kid that, you know, everybody seems to be pretty hot on. I mean, I'll be completely honest with you, I haven't started my draft stuff, and ever since we added, you know, Eric Edholm is our draft expert, and I used to be, you know, making calls right about now, you know, hey, who should I be watching the college season? Now I'm like, the combine's coming up, and I'm like, hey, who am I going to actually see running around now at the combine? But no, I mean, that's the kid I've been hearing about, you know, for a while. And, you know, he's, let me put it this way. From what I understand, you know, if he's the number one overall pick, it's not like a Myles Garrett, you know, type of pick. Like, teams definitely are looking at him as being a guy who's got tools, but is not fully, you know, he's still learning, you know, a lot of different pass rushing techniques. I mean, he's long, a lot of athleticism. But, you know, he seems to be far and away the guy everybody's talking about. That and they're trashing the quarterback class. I mean, you cannot find a team that is uninterested in trashing the quarterback class. They all want to do it this year.
Charles, the Titans, obviously, I mean, you lose to the Houston Texans this year. It's not good. It was ugly on Sunday. They threw four interceptions. Ryan Tannehill sitting at 13 touchdown passes, 12 picks so far on this year. Your reaction to, number one, the way the game played out, the Titans lost, and number two, what you've seen thus far from Tannehill this year?
Well, I can tell you right now, you can just forget about whatever, you know, people are going to say, well, Derrick Henry's not there, the run game. I mean, if you turn it over, what, five times total in the game? I think you turn it over five times, right?
Yep.
You're not going to beat anybody. You're not even the Texans. I mean, you might even have a hard time beating the Lions, turning the ball over five times. What makes me nervous is, you know, I'm trying to be measured here because everything changes quickly in the league, but I hate that the Jets and the Texans are losses now on that, you know, on that resume. And it really pisses me off because I had Will Blackman on our podcast midweek, and I was telling Will, I'm like, you know, hey, I love Tennessee because guess what? They got the Texans twice on their schedule. I'm like, I guess I shouldn't have said that. So, you know, look, if with Derrick Henry being out, with the run game being what it is, Ryan Tannehill is going to have to shoulder some of this, and you cannot turn the ball over like that. You're not going to win a lot of games like that, and you know, I don't know what else you can really say. You just got to make better decisions. Because to me, from what I saw, those were not, it wasn't a, hey, Matt Stafford sticks a ball in Tyler Higbee's stomach and, you know, it bounces off his hands and next thing you know, it's a pick six. Like this, that was, you know, there were decision-making errors. It would help if every, you know, some people came back healthy, if the wide receiving core was healthier than it is right now, but I mean, that's life right now. You know, everybody's kind of dealing with injuries, and Tannehill's just going to have to be a little more careful. And I will say this, I do buy into the idea that it was a trap game. I did not like where it was positioned on the schedule coming out of, you know, a good stretch, the Patriots coming up. You know, you, if there was a game that would make me nervous, I would definitely, I could see them looking past the Houston Texans. I sure did.
Yeah, you weren't alone. Well, speaking of the Patriots, Charles, how much are you buying that team? They've been rolling bad teams lately. Looks yeah. like a really stout defense. Mac Jones, best rookie quarterback. How much do you buy them as a contender in the AFC?
Like you said, they're rolling bad teams. So, you know, let's see. I want to see them stack up some wins against playoff caliber teams, especially if they could actually meet a team that's healthy. What I do like about them, though, everybody's talking about Mac Jones, but the truth is they figured out how to run the football. They're running the football. And, you know, if the Patriots can run the football, and Bill Belichick, the one thing that has been constant about him that I've always loved about him as a coach, and we've all talked about it over and over, yet he does it season in and season out, he figures out how to take away whatever your strength is offensively. You know, he can typically, as long as he's got a healthy defense, he can game plan to remove that, and, you know, you have to move off it and figure out a way to beat them. That is this team right now. So as happy as, you know, people are, or as excited as people are there about Mac Jones, if you look, they're not asking him to do a lot. Like, his game is opening a little bit more. If you watch them, they'll allow him to take a few more chances now. You know, he'll throw, you know, some balls beyond 15 yards now, but it's sparing. To me, the bigger problem is just how they're playing defensively, and the fact that they've clearly got the running back rotation figured out, and that to me makes them at least consistent. So I don't know that they're any kind of a favorite yet in the AFC. I know a lot of people like to say that now. I don't know yet. We'll see. I don't like rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs. I can tell you that. No matter who it is, I don't like the idea that, hey, this might be a Super Bowl team, because, you know, we know how exponentially difficult it gets in the playoffs. And, you know, Mac Jones, as good as he is, we're still years of development away from, you know, his ceiling. So,
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles, in that same division, what in the world is going on with the Buffalo Bills? How do we figure out what exactly they are at this point?
Well, okay, a couple of things. I mean, if you look at the schedule, I am realizing now that I am not as impressed with their wins as maybe I was early in the season. You know, it's like the Kansas City game. You're sitting there and you're like, oh, wow, you know, they've really arrived. But, you know, some of the teams I thought were going to be really good haven't been. And, frankly, I didn't give a lot of respect to the Indianapolis Colts without realizing that the Colts are kind of doing what Tennessee did with Derrick Henry. They figured out their identity, took, you know, some of the responsibility off of Carson Wentz. And, you know, I think the one thing about Buffalo that bothers me is I like them defensively, even though they, you know, they got pounded by the Colts, but offensively, everything's on Josh Allen. Like, if you watch them, they're so unbalanced offensively, and it would be one thing if Josh Allen was playing the way he was last season. We thought he could be an MVP favorite, but he's loose. He is very loose right now. I mean, and I just don't think functionally, if you're the Bills, you can sit there and go, hey, we're going to, you know, basically run 90% of what we have to accomplish offensively through Josh Allen. As good as Allen is, I don't know. I don't know that he's that player yet. So I just think they got to find some kind of balance offensively. I think defensively they're going to be fine, but, Allen's been a little more up and down this season than I expected. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. If you watch all their games, you will see he is a lot less consistent than he was last year.
That gate agent really has a shrill voice going, huh? Yeah. Really booming it out today.
You want me to put her on? I can put her on right now.
Yeah, put it on speaker, will you? All right, so please help me understand Taysom Hill. I mean, there's so many things about Taysom Hill I don't understand.
But it's Rex Rhodes' favorite player.
Please help me understand this freaking deal.
My favorite line of yesterday was someone says the Saints are clearly laundering money through Taysom Hill. I thought that was the greatest. I was like, yes, he's now a money laundering vehicle for the
Saints. He does it all.
Okay, I'll take you back a couple years ago before Breeze retired. And I was at the Super Bowl, and I met with someone from the Saints. And, you know, they just went on and on about how much Sean Payton loved him, really thought, like, he could be developed into a good quarterback. You know, I bought into it, and then really kind of since that point, I've never seen them really with a sustained effort to actually develop him as a quarterback. I think first off, the downside for Peyton, he's sitting there going, we structured it in a way that if he's not a quarterback, the salary is not going to be nearly what these numbers look like. It's going to be far lower than what anybody thinks. We use him enough in the offense to make him worthwhile, and we can expand that role. But I also think the Saints are like a lot of teams. There's going to be, you know, 10, 12 teams looking for a quarterback potentially this offseason. And I think Sean Payton's like, this is not going to be enough to go around, and this draft class is not good enough. What are we going to do here? Like, we have to give ourselves some options. And I think if they're ever going to try to develop him and actually use him as a quarterback, this is it, this offseason. Like, this is, you know, I would start that now. I have no idea why they're not doing it now. If they really truly believe he can be a starter, you should be starting him right now over Trevor Siemian, and yet they're not. So, but I can't lie to you guys. I was stunned when I saw that. I was stunned. And I immediately shot off a text to multiple people where I was like, what just happened? Like, I was like, did Schefter's account get hacked? Is this a tweet from like 2 years ago? Like, where did this come from? You know, I don't know, man. His agent is clearly doing his job. And by the way, his agent also represents Chase Daniel. Go ahead and look at how much money that guy made.
Yeah.
His agent represented Kevin Cobb when Kevin Cobb got paid. His agent represents Case Keenum. Like, go look at what this is. This guy has gotten more mediocre quarterbacks paid than anybody I've seen. And it's deals like this. People don't realize it, but it's deals like this and the Kirk Cousins deal that Mike McCartney did. Those impact the quarterback market far more than just the top-end elite deals. Because you start getting middle-of-the-road guys or low-tier guys, good money or good guaranteed money and opportunities, That really, you know, raises all boats when it comes to quarterback pay.
Kirk Cousins is pretty good, but who the heck is this agent?
his name's Jeff Nally. Yeah.
All right. He's the hidden Scott Boris of the NFL.
I'll be making a phone call later. That's right.
Yeah, you got a deal to do. Like, that's definitely. I'm like, hey, I'm pretty mediocre. I need to.
That's right. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Tuesday morning at 9:00. Charles, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Appreciate you taking time to join us, and be safe this week.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Have a safe holiday.
Absolutely. You as well. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Charles had to say there. Continue to celebrate Joe's love of Taysom Hill on the other side as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Corner Pub in Bellevue this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jarrett Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. You can join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Corner Pub in Bellevue at 8058 Tennessee Highway 100 prior to the Titans taking on the New England Patriots. The NFL pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Going to be joined by Preds TV analyst Chris Mason coming up at 9:30. Get his thoughts on a big win last night for the Nashville Predators against the Anaheim Ducks. That's coming up here in about 10 minutes or so, so looking forward to that. Thanks to Charles Robinson for joining us in the last segment. It is very difficult to figure out exactly what the Buffalo Bills are right now. They're destroying some bad teams in the league, and then they play some good teams. They don't look very good. And to Charles's point, they have absolutely zero running game, and to me, that's probably not going to serve them well coming down the stretch here.
No.
I shouldn't say zero. Josh Allen can run.
That's
I guess
true.
That's the running
he's,
game.
He's it. Now, that lack of balance, and look, I mean, it's – I think Josh Allen, we talked about it earlier, right? He was second MVP voting. He's a big play player. He's a very good player. I don't know that he's ever going to be as consistent as you want him to be. And we even saw that in the playoffs last year too. I still think his accuracy just kind of just shorts out on him a little bit too much. But, look, he's very good. Their defense is very good. They're still a contender. I know Arshil Kapadia came out with something today, like, this is why I still think the Bills are the Super Bowl favorite. You know, that's a little bit of an against-the-grain opinion right now, but it's far from far-fetched. But it's concerning when you play a game like that and just get beat up the way the Colts beat them up. And well, look, we saw Derrick Henry obviously change that game against them with the 76-yard touchdown, but also, you know, slamming into that defense. You know, I mean, but that's also how many teams do you have to play where that's something you have to deal with? One team, and they're about to play them twice, is the Patriots because they can run the football.
They can.
That was a major mute.
What a mute.
That was maybe the worst mute of all time. That was like halfway through the sentence at that point.
We're the only show in town that counts our mutes, darn it. We are fully the only honest show about our muting.
That's right. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Doug in Nashville, who wants to weigh in. Doug, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, guys. I'm from Buffalo, big Buffalo Bills fan. And this has been an issue for a couple of years, the lack of running game and ability to stop a run. So the Bills will get beat up by the smash-mouth teams like Indianapolis did the other day. Our biggest fear is they're going to get beat twice by New England just because the defensive coordinators in this league have figured Josh Allen out is that they will not allow him to roll out to the right. So when he rolls out to the right, he's really dangerous. He's not very dangerous when they push him to the left. They figured that out. And, I mean, if Jacksonville can figure that out and Indianapolis can, the rest of the league has already figured it out. Until they fix that offensive line, they're in big trouble.
Hey, thanks for the call, Doug. We appreciate it. I mean, yeah, I mean, you certainly look at the Bills right now and to his point. I love the kind of the dig there by Doug at the end. You know, if Jacksonville can figure that out, rest of the league can too.
Yeah, well,
he's not wrong.
Don't underestimate Urban Meyer. You're just in there, man. Talking a lot of trash about the Bills and Vols today, aren't you?
Yeah. Them beating North Carolina look pretty good. Yeah. Having more of an impressive win than Kentucky's even sniffed so far this year. Yes, it looks very good. You're right.
Ooh, yes. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Keep it going, guys. What? I'm just going to sit here.
We can have the college basketball debate a little bit later, like January.
Yeah.
February.
Or, yeah. If you March. Have it your way, yeah, March 20th.
Well, that goes back to our discussion, though, from earlier in the show about the AFC. Like, I have no clue what to make of the AFC so far this year. You got the Titans losing to the Texans and the Jets. The Bills can't get out of their own way. All of a sudden, the Chiefs, their defense looks like they figured things out. Their offense looked really good against the Raiders. Seems okay against the Cowboys. I mean, Mahomes didn't have a touchdown pass. They had the I still am amazed by the different formations that Andy Reid can come up with to get Travis Kelce the ball. Like, basically, the shotgun wishbone snap that he took on the goal line the other day is pretty good stuff. They find a way to get him the ball pretty often.
Yeah, no doubt. So, apparently, I had bad math. Is that right? Was that my math bad on the Colts?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Well, someone says so. Top Dog says you're shorting the Colts by a game. 5-2 gets them to 11 wins. Well, okay. First of all, they have 6 games left, right? Right. So they have 6 games left. So 5-1. Maybe did we say 6-1? Is that what the problem was?
Yeah.
Okay. Regardless, 5-5.
That's why we don't do math.
5-1 gets them to 11. Okay, 5-1. There is no 5-2. And then for the Titans, then of course they would need to go 3-4 to still win the division.
Well, the Titans only have 6 games left too, so they can't go 3-4.
God, why is this so hard? They're at 11. There's 6 games left. Okay, the Titans would have to go 3-3 if the Colts go 5-1. I think the Colts are. You can't expect the Colts to do better than 5-1, can you? I mean, if so, give them the T-shirts and the hats.
Yeah,
Titans go 3-3, beat the Jags,
the Dolphins,
beat the Dolphins,
the Texans.
Can you not get swept by the Texans? I think the Titans are going to win the AFC South.
I think so too. Vincent from Dixon texting in. Hey, Joe, do you think Stillman could do a 3,000-word story without the word I, making up 1,500 of the words? Probably not in the Mike Vrabel voice. It's coming from Vincent on the text line.
I mean, that's just – for the record –
that was out of nowhere.
We were not trying to bring in Jared or rip Jared. Man, that was kind of mean. Jeez. I think Jared's doing a heck of a job of listening to all the radio shows.
Yeah, in America.
I mean, I guess, like, if you are doing your show and then during the break you put on your – and you listen to, like a segment.
Boise, Idaho.
Commercial. Most honest show in the country.
I got a text that says, did you guys see Daniel Jones last night? He is a walking trash can. I would rather have Rusty Smith in there. Jeez. Daniel Jones is not very good. That's looking like a pretty atrocious draft pick by the Giants.
Yeah, some NFL writer last night tweeted that he's the Internet Explorer of quarterbacks.
That's pretty good.
It's not as good as a Taysom Hill money laundering.
Who'd you rather have, Daniel Jones or Taysom Hill? I think I'd probably legitimately rather have Taysom Hill.
Would you?
Yes.
I mean, Taysom Hill is definitely a better lead blocker than Daniel Jones. Yes. He's a good H-back.
When I think back on Daniel Jones' playing career, the one play I'm going to think of is the 75-yard run or whatever he had, breakaway to the end zone, and just tripping over his own 2 feet.
Yeah.
That'll be the first one that comes to mind.
Quite an omen there. Look, again, most of these picks are not going to work out. Most of your high-pick quarterbacks are not going to – and they might be complete busts, or at the very least, they're not going to be what you picked them to be. Daniel Jones, and I'm not going to give up on Zach Wilson yet, but it doesn't look great.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Preds TV analyst, former Preds goaltender Chris Mason. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, former Preds goaltender. C. Mace, we got your music back in here. It's going to be a good day today here on the show.
Oh, I was just anticipating if it was going to be on there, and it just got me going. Just the juice is flowing right now.
The juice is flowing. Chris Mason ready to go here on the program today. C. Mace, we appreciate you taking time to join us. What a game last night between the Preds and the Ducks. Back and forth affair. Preds moving the puck around on the power play really well. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. But let's start with that play by Yakov Trenin to score the game-winning goal. What a play that was by Trenin last night to create the turnover and then finish on the other end. I think he's got a little bit of underrated offensive flair to him.
Oh, I definitely think he does. I mean, look at the pass he made on the first goal to Johansson. Just spins around. He's going right down the middle of the ice, and he just turns around and creates a passing lane. And I think it might have been going to Janot, but Janot let it go. And Johansson picks it up. Great play there. I thought he was just physically dominant. He looked fast. And that plays again. It starts in the defensive zone. He comes up in the ice and just overpowers Shattenkirk. Shattenkirk wanted no part of him or anyone else on the herd that whole game. So, and then you finish it off. John Gibson didn't even move, you know. So it was one of those things. Sometimes as a goaltender, you look who's coming down, and you probably saw Trennan and didn't know what to expect, and he just roofs that one on him. And, you know, he's got a lot of high-level skill. I mean, that's what he was drafted for, right? So it's good to see Yakov Trennan and the Preds finally getting some secondary scoring.
So, C-Mace, I'm sure you've had a variety of just wacky bounces go in on you. And I'm just wondering, you know, when a goal like the Ducks have bouncing off, you know, two defensemen and pops in like that to tie a game pretty late, like, how difficult is it to bounce back from that and to not, you know, I guess feel like, oh, man, maybe it's just not our night when something like that goes down?
Yeah, it's tough. It's, you know, I guess at the end of the day, it's one of those. And because he had so many, he had three against Montreal that went off other players. So it's, as a goaltender, sometimes you just kind of have to shrug your shoulder, and you know there's nothing you can do about it. But I love the way the team responded. They didn't get down. They just kept. They went back on the attack, and you know, ultimately got that Trennan goal. But you know, it sucks because it's kind of one of those. You want to. Someone to beat you, or you want to, you know, get beat clean, I guess, instead of one like that where there's, you don't really have a chance at saving it. You know, Yost maybe probably shouldn't have turned his stick and tried to stop it on the one side. Instead, he probably should use his skates or whatever, but it was just a unlucky play, plain and simple. And you know, he came back, and then, you know, he played his best hockey in the last 10 minutes, because that's when the Ducks really pushed. They tried to you know, they obviously were trying to tie the game, and Juice was at his best after that goal. So he's the elite guys can just put that right behind him immediately and get on with their game, and he did that. And it's a great bounce-back game from him from Montreal, which, you know, it's been a while since he gave up that many goals. He got pulled from a game. I don't even remember the last time. And the good guys can do that. You put it by, you move on, and you put up a good performance again last night.
See, Mace, I talked to Ryan Johansson and John Hines after the game last night, and they both talked about the difference in his game this year being moving his feet, always kind of, you know, just chopping away and moving those feet to use his physical tools that he brings to the table. How much of a difference do you think that part of it has made for Johansson specifically, just in terms of always moving his feet, using that big body to his advantage, and keeping the legs going? How big of a difference can that make for a player like him in the style that he plays?
Oh, well, you look at, you know, he's like Getzlaff. Like when those guys get moving and they're big and strong, they're just hard to get off the puck. When they're stationary and stagnant, you don't have to do much. You just keep them to the outside. And, you know, you can defend players like that if they're not moving their feet and if they're not, you know, engaging physically. It's you know, it's just you kind of, I guess, get back down to, you don't use your attributes to your advantage. And I think when Johansson's doing that, he's tough to handle. And, you know, he's shooting the puck, and when you have multi-threats, you know, you look at two of the goals last game, Johansson and Granlund. Everybody, when Johansson, you know, if you add that shot threat to his game, he becomes, you know, an extremely dangerous player to defend, because you have to respect the shot. You can't just fade over to the other options because you know he's a playmaker. I look at that power play goal on Granlund. Nobody even went to Granlund. They all went to the options because he passes the puck all the time, and I think he was almost surprised that he had that open lane to the net. There was nobody there, you know, in the high slot area, and he just takes it and rips it in the net. So I think when a guy like Johansson, I really honestly think these guys are thriving on being leaders on this team, and, you know, it's their team, and these young guys look to them, and they're pushing, you know, the older guys like Johansson and Matt Duchene, and obviously they have their own standards, but when you have that purpose, I really feel like it's just a complete rejuvenation in the mindset for a lot of these players, and they're having fun, and it shows out there. You guys said it right off the top. It was an exciting game, and every game the guys play, whether, you know, they get beat by Montreal or, you know, they don't play as well against Toronto or whatever, it's not from a lack of work ethic. These guys are working their butts off every single night, and yeah, it's not perfect, but you guys know as well as anybody, over the last few years, there's been a lot of times where this team's effort has been in question, not the second half of last year, but, you know, they come out and they compete. And when you have Johansson and Duchene and company, everyone competing, it's fun hockey to watch.
So Chris Robbie likes to say that he doesn't look at the standings till American Thanksgiving, which we're right about there, and the Preds are in a pretty good spot. I'm wondering, at what point in the season do you look at a power play and say, yeah, that actually is a top five power play in the NHL? I mean, is this have staying power?
I think it. I mean, I don't know if it has top five staying power, and it's such a moving needle on the power play, because you know you can start off and you're 0 for whatever, and all of a sudden your percentage isn't going to be great at the end of the year, and again you can get a nice cushion at the beginning of the year and you can be a top 10 power play. So I always think it's something that's constantly being reevaluated. But right now, I mean, they're one of the most potent teams in the NHL on the power play, and it's the movement that they have. I talked to John Hines a lot about it, and I said, what's the difference here? And he said, I'll tell you what. He's like, Dan Lambert, he talked to a ton of coaches. He watched, you know, hours and hours and hours of video, and this was, he dedicated his offseason to turning the power play around. And then, you know, after that, you have to communicate it to the players and get their thoughts on it and go through that process and start working on it. They work on it every single pregame skate now. At the end of pregame skate, they'll work on their power play. And I think it's been as we can see the results, they put a lot of emphasis on letting the powers create and be in control of it, a lot of movement. So they'll have their starting positions where they are. But at the end of the day, it's up to the players to move around. So your half wall guy is not always your half wall guy. And it just seems to be working. And again, it's a confidence. It's a rejuvenation. It's the self-ownership of being on that power play, and the guys are just embracing it. You know, it's a fun team to watch this season.
Press TV analyst Chris Mason on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. See, Mace, you know, from the last few games that I've watched, what I've noticed, especially last night from Tomasino, I think he's trying to do a little bit too much out there. He gets the breakaway opportunity, you know, makes the moves, doesn't get a shot off. I had another one where he had a shot opportunity on the rush and tried to force a pass in there. When you're dealing with younger guys and maybe they're trying to do a little bit too much offensively, what do you think the best way is to approach maybe settling them down? How difficult is that to do as a young player in the NHL?
I just think the more games you play, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, they're playing teams for the first time. They haven't seen Getzlaff. They haven't seen Troy Terry. So it's all new to them. But I think the more that he does it, the easier it's going to get. I feel like he's overthinking. He finds a space and he gets that separation. He's able to get in there and handle the puck and make plays to get himself in a great scoring position. But I think he's overthinking. You know, it looks like he's like, oh, you know, it's the NHL goalie. I gotta do something extra or special to score, when he's got the tool set just to, you know, maybe get a quick shot and fire the puck, or just go, you know, his go-to move. It looks like he's thinking too much, hesitating, gets a little too close to the goalie, and then loses the handle. But the fact that he's getting those opportunities is a great sign, and it's a sign of better things to come. You know, once he figures out that, you know, he can just go ahead and play his game and not overthink it and just trust his instincts. But I think the fact that he's getting those opportunities, you can see the speed and the way he handles pucks in there, that he's only going to get better. So I feel it's all good things.
Press TV analyst Chris Mason has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Tuesday morning at 9:30. C. Mace, appreciate you, brother. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Chris Mason, Press TV analyst, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back, react a little bit to what C. Mace had to say there, preview the playoff matchup for Nashville SC tonight as well. All that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It's hooked in and headed in! Delirium! Yonder Cadiz!
Who's going to find the back of the net in the upcoming Nashville SC match? Robbie and Rex Road make their picks to click for the match and welcome a listener to do the same. NSC Pick to Click on ESPN 102.5 The Game is brought to you by Camarena Tequila.
And it is that time of the day, time for NSC Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Nashville SC in action tonight in the playoffs, the first round of the playoffs for Nashville SC, taking on Orlando City SC at Nissan Stadium. Pregame begins at 6:45 on ESPN 94.9 and the match begins at 7 o'clock. The listeners won the regular season competition. 8 correct answers. Michelle Knezovic finishing strong with 6. Joe Rextro with 4. Robbie Stanley with 3. So I guess what we've learned through a little bit over a year now of doing pick-to-click competitions, I kind of suck. Like, I'm not very good at the pick-to-click stuff.
Well, would you rather be good at the pick-to-click stuff or be dominating a fantasy football league?
I'd rather be dominating fantasy football. Well,
which you are. So, see? There's always something to be thankful for.
That's right. There is. Michelle, in honor of beating the two of us in the regular season, you have the first pick in tonight's match between Nashville SC and Orlando City SC.
But by the way, the competition continues. And if Nashville SC makes a run, I mean, who knows? Right?
But she still gets credit for being the regular season champion among us three. The listeners killed both of us.
I came in late, too.
Well, you definitely came in late. Yeah, you came in like halfway through the season.
I think it's the championship of the whole thing.
I'm just splitting it up.
Well, how many banners? Well, you like the Preds. You want to hang a banner for every win?
Wow. You're not winning Preds pick to click either, by the way. But, okay. Michelle, your pick to click tonight for Nashville SC. I didn't figure there would be. Hani Mukhtar, the selection by Michelle Knezovic. I probably should have made myself go first just to give myself a better chance at this, but I didn't. That's okay. Joe Rexroad, you were up second. Your pick to click tonight for Nashville SC.
Well, then, how about Randall Leal?
Okay. All right. Didn't seem to be much hesitation there from Rexroad either. I'll go CJ Sapong.
So,
you know. He
what,
burned me.
What a postseason story it could be.
I will say, I mean, he scored at the end of the regular season.
I mean, might be well-timed.
Might be well-timed indeed.
You've moved off him.
In all seriousness, I'm looking forward to seeing how this goes tonight for Nashville SC. Had a regular season where you were very consistent. Defensively, still a really good team. Much more dangerous offensively this year for Nashville SC. You're at home tonight. If you win this match, you'll go on the road and take on Philadelphia. So as Gentry Estes pointed out earlier in the show, maybe letting that 2 seed slip away could end up costing you somewhere down the road. You don't want to put the cart in front of the horse. They got a game to win tonight against Orlando City. But this is a team, to me, that feels like they could be dangerous this time around in the MLS playoffs.
Absolutely. No question. And yeah, like Gentry Estes said earlier, I mean, 18 draws, so that's a record. I did not realize that was a record.
But a lot of draws.
A lot of them that could have been wins, and so... and some early ones, you know, that you probably should have had a better result. But it's hard to beat this team. So keep that going in the playoffs. It'd be nice to see a good crowd tonight, too. I know it's going to be in the 30s, but remember, that's not that bad.
Yeah. They have not lost at all.
Yeah, they're undefeated. Yeah. So I guess undefeated. That's undefeated. Yeah. But it'd be good to see a good crowd for this, for sure. As this could be the last time. Well, this could be the last time to see this club play at Nissan Stadium. The new stadium is all under budget and ahead of schedule and all these things that you never hear about sports structures. So that's kind of refreshing. But this could be it. This could be the last time in Nissan. I think it's been a really nice home for them. It's not – I mean, it's going to be better in the new place. That place looks amazing. But it's been a really good atmosphere that they've created in 2 seasons at Nissan.
It has been a really good atmosphere. I expect it to be a very nice atmosphere coming up tonight as well. Interested to see if they can get the job done. You know, defensively, I think they're going to be in good shape. Can you have your clutch players come up through offensively? It seems like every time they've needed a big goal this year, Hani Mukhtar has delivered on said big goal. So I would expect that to continue as they head in the playoffs. He has been money all season long. If you've not watched Hani Mukhtar play soccer, I would go watch. He's pretty exciting to watch out there.
He is. He's a lot of fun. Walker Zimmerman, too.
Yeah.
Just
who has, as Rexro described last week, 68-inch vertical leap.
Something
just keeps
like that.
Growing.
Something like that. Yeah. Quite an athlete.
Preds with a big win last night against the Ducks. You know, it's an early season Monday night game against Anaheim. I thought that was a big game last night. You're setting the tone for three games at home this week. They'll take on Vegas tomorrow, New Jersey coming up on Friday, before taking on Colorado on the road. on Saturday on the second half of back-to-back. Really entertaining game last night between the Predators and the Ducks. Ryan Johansson with a goal. Mikael Granlund scores on the power play. Yakov Trinan a goal and an assist last night, including the game winner. That was a big-time win, big-time performance last night from the Predators. UC Saros, we've not really talked a whole lot about today. He was sensational once again last night. And all in all, I think a pretty good response in your first game back at home last night against an Anaheim team that coming into that game has been playing pretty well.
Yeah, and you really needed that win, especially after that weird goal they get to tie. Great play by Yakov Trinan. I mean, Willie Donick just tweeted recently today, you know, that's one of the best plays of the year for the Preds. And I would agree, like the entire play there from Trinan at the end of a long shift. So that's a big win. And I know that the standings don't say, you know, Vegas and Colorado are dominant teams. I still think this is very much now a measuring stick few days to come. These are still two of the best teams. These are contenders. And now you get to match yourself up against, of course, Vegas at home. Now the Colorado situation's rough.
Yeah.
Second day of a back-to-back going from home to road, you know,
With the altitude, presumably
your backup goaltender and all that stuff. So maybe not the greatest test there. But, you know, this Vegas game, it's a big one.
It is a big one. And Ryan Johansson playing pretty well right now. Matt Duchene continues to play well. You asked the question to C-Mace about the power play. At what point do you say, hey, this is what it is? I ask you the question about Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson. At what point do you say, hey, this just is what they are this year, and that's two very, very good hockey players so far for the Predators.
Well, I think with Johansson, it's less of a leap to me to what he is this year. I think this is what people have been wanting from him, and we've seen before Johansson be a really, really good player, and I think he's rediscovered it, and I think there's no reason for that to fall off. You're not asking him to produce outrageous numbers, just to play like that, and it makes such a huge difference. Duchene is on an all-time heater. Like, Duchene, like, is he going to keep up this pace and have his greatest goal-scoring season ever this year? I mean, I have my doubts, but
he's off to a great start.
He's off to a great start, and he looks so confident and fast and just lethal. So, I mean, look, if that's going to even stay relatively close to that the rest of the year, what a season it's going to be for him, and you would think for them.
Matthew texting in, Robbie, would you rather the Vols lose to Vandy and finish 6-6 and the Titans win against the Patriots and go 9-3 or vice versa? You can only pick one. So I guess I'm picking between a Vols win or a Titans win. What would I rather see happen? I mean, Vols.
Yeah, you don't want to. You keep it to yourself pretty well, but there's a little bitterness toward Vandy in there.
No.
A little bit? Come on. Little bit.
I love Clark Lee.
Well, that's fine. Individuals. You don't have to dislike individuals, but you don't like to hear the Vandy fans chirping at you.
They get to run in their mouth sometimes.
There it is.
They're kind of like Kentucky fans in that regard.
See, this is the only show honest about Robbie's
that's right.
deep-seated hatred for Vanderbilt.
That's right. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donegan Chase is up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, Robbie Stanley here, and this Thanksgiving, FanDuel Sportsbook is thankful for you. That's why they're giving all customers up to a $100 bonus on same-game parlays. You can feast on the NFL all weekend long and turn little bets into big paydays with same-game parlays. You get your payouts in as little as 2 hours. I like the Bears and Lions this week. Give me the under on the passing yards for Andy Dalton. Give me the under on the score total as well, and give me the Lions on the money line, but you take it any way you want to take it. Plus, if it's your first time betting with FanDuel, you can also enjoy a risk-free bet up to $1,000 when you sign up with promo code ROB. Once again, that promo code is ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $100 plus 400 odds or longer wager required. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.